Hello, welcome to The Tech Show. I'm Eddie Cummings.
I'm Andrew Dodson.
I'm Dan Finley.
And I'm Alex Hall.
We have a very exciting show for you today. We're here live from Maplin's in the centre of Leeds on Leeds Student Radio. If you want to get involved with the show, then please tweet us. This is LSR, at This is LSR. We've got a very exciting giveaway later of a 2 terabyte hard drive, which is pretty awesome. So stay tuned for the question and please answer on the Twitter page. Also get involved on the website, lsrfm.com. Get us on the chat box if you've got any thoughts or anything about the show. That'd be absolutely amazing. So we're going to start off the show with a bit of this week's news, the news bulletin. Andrew, if you want to start us off.
Absolutely. This week, Microsoft and Yahoo have responded to the EU's right to be forgotten request after the whole Google ordeal last week. Also Google-related, they've backed a DNA screening test called 23andMe, and that's launched in the UK after being banned in the US under medical guidance reasons, so we'll have to see how that
Google
pans out.
Cool.
Oh yeah, always good. Amazon have employed 15,000 warehouse worker robots, seeing a large growth in efficiency and promises it's good for human workers too. But I think you've got more to say about that later.
Yeah, I've got a bit more about that, whether it's a PR strategy for Black Friday. Anyway, we'll talk about it later.
Absolutely.
Carry on.
The BBC have launched a tool for children to make their own video games called Techno Babble. And it's the 20th anniversary of the PlayStation 1.
That is so crazy.
Nice. Always good. Tomorrow is the... Yeah, it came out the 3rd of December, 1994.
Nice, wow. That's good knowledge.
Oh, I know, 20 years old.
Right, so we carry on with the news. I've got quite a sort of depressing bit for those old techies. Microsoft is sadly getting rid of ClipArt.
It's just announced today.
I know, the dream's over, guys. Sadly, yeah, it's gone, and it will never come back now. It's been replaced by Bing search image results. I'm sure you guys all saw the Star Wars trailer that came out this week.
I saw the new
film. There is some debate about the impracticality of the lightsaber that was used on that. Yeah. We'll get into that a little
bit
later.
We will get into that later.
What else? Oh, yeah, of course, we had Black Friday, the Friday that's just gone, and Cyber Monday, which was yesterday. And the total spending over the Thanksgiving weekend in the US fell in comparison to last year by an estimated 11.3%. However, online sales actually grew, interestingly. Mm. There's been 3D printing in space to fix part of a space station, which is pretty exciting. So that hopefully they're hoping that there'll be less journeys back to Earth to fix things up there. And last little thing, North Korea recently denied hacking into Sony Pictures following the release of The Interview with James Franco and Seth Rogen, which is basically a film where they go and attempt to assassinate Kim Jong-un, which doesn't seem...
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be hilarious, but I don't know if that's for anything we should advocate. Dan, have you got the futurology section you want to go through?
Yeah, I do. I've got some futurology news this week.
Cool.
Got some news about SpaceX. That is Elon Musk's space company, kind of a bit rival to Virgin Galactic, I suppose. But SpaceX is working towards a fully reusable rocket system that can land on completely autonomous drone ships. So kind of breakthrough in the intergalactic world there.
Yep.
We've got some news about some nano batteries being charged in less than a minute. We've got some researchers who have successfully demonstrated the ability to stream hands-free information across a contact lens.
Wow.
We've got researchers growing parts of spinal cords, some 3D printing, as you mentioned, in space, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some researchers who have developed an electronic implant that delivers a drug when triggered by a remote signal and then harmlessly dissolves within minutes.
Wow,
that's pretty cool.
So, yeah. Futurology stuff there.
There you go.
Just to finish off the news bulletin section, I've got some latest news that's just come in the last hour, I think. It was just published on TechCrunch. And it basically talked about a new patent that the iPhone have just put into place, which is a drop protection mechanism that changes the device angle in freefall, apparently. So if you're ever prone to dropping your phone on a night out or whatever, I'm sure many students are, then it will hopefully like fall at the right angle so it won't actually smash, which is pretty cool. And finally, a little follow-up of news from last week about Uber. I remember we had a discussion about Uber's kind of terrible week, PR week. And basically, it's seen Lyft, which is one of their main competitors, has grown significantly in the US as a lot of people have done the hashtag delete Uber campaign, which has kind of picked up a lot of steam and seen a lot of people leave the service. So that's an interesting one. Anyway, I think we're gonna discuss this all later in a bit more depth. Mm-hmm. And for the meantime, I think we're gonna get on with a tune. We're gonna whack on a tune right now. That'd be awesome.
This is the Tech Show on Leeds Student Radio.
The sound of students in Leeds.
Hello, welcome back to the Tech Show. I'm Eddie, I'm here with the guys today where we've got a special outside broadcast live from Maplin's in the centre of Leeds. We've just been through the news bulletin, and now Dan, if you want to just explain a little quickly about the music.
Yeah, so guys, you might recognise these songs. I've actually gathered a load from kind of different game references over the past kind of 10 years or so. That was, of course, Beyond the Sea by Bobby Darin, which was in, anyone know?
Bioshock,
very good. And we opened with Toto Africa, which is Vice City, of course, which is a cracking game, filled with good songs.
Is there any more from games coming up?
We have a good pocketful, so we'll bring a few out.
Nice one, dude. Right, we're going to now go into a bit of discussion about the news. I firstly wanted to start off with the piece that Andrew mentioned about Amazon and how there's recently been a news piece about the robots that organise all our stuff in their warehouses. And basically, I read an article this morning just about how could potentially be a PR strategy, having, you know, bearing in mind that Black Friday just passed and it's Cyber Monday yesterday, and it was something to boost their sales. And the only reason that this has kind of come to light is because this exact time last year, I don't know if you guys remember, their kind of release about the Amazon Prime Air and the drones that were going to deliver packages off, and that kind of stuff.
Ridiculous idea.
Yeah, that ridiculous idea. And I think, you know, if you think of it in that sense, it's kind of a PR strategy just to put it out there.
I think it was, yeah.
So everyone's heading to the shops on Black Friday.
What I like about that, the article, though, was the fact that it was like, no, but don't worry, it's good for human workers as well, because the increased efficiency will just create more jobs somehow.
Yeah, I know. Somehow. Well, that's interesting. It ties in with that technological unemployment we were talking about a couple weeks back.
There's like 15,000 new robots.
I don't know.
I don't know how they justify the human involvement in that kind of robotic kind of employee atmosphere. It's not. I mean, it's obviously they've taken thousands of jobs, Amazon, away from people. Do these robots, I mean, obviously do things quicker than the employees?
I think I saw the statistic was something like a 20% increase in just general efficiency. All right.
So overall, it's actually probably going to be quite a large revenue increase then.
Well, it's interesting, there were statistics released this week that actually said within the next 20 years in the UK, they're actually published by Deloitte, there's going to be something like a third of the workforce are going to be at risk of losing their jobs to developments in technology, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. Anyway, we shall get on with the news discussion. Next one we were going to talk about was a little bit on... Oh, yeah, this one about drones. So we didn't actually mention this in the bulletin, but there's been... bearing in mind that drones are going to be the big Christmas present this year, every kid's getting like some sort of fancy drone with a camera on it. They've recently caused some trouble because they've been flying into sports stadiums, into airspace, and just like causing havoc everywhere. But there's no real, like, I mean, obviously there's aviation laws, but there's no set of regulations for people buying these products. So apparently in the US this week they're going to be publishing some regulations to sort out that issue, which could be interesting for the use of these products.
Yeah, I think for that it's just mainly a lack of knowledge of the general public. It's like, obviously if you're flying helicopters or planes and stuff like that, you'll obviously know the aviation laws, but like, I don't know any aviation laws.
No, I know.
if I had a drone, I'd just sort of fly it up in the air and see how high I could get, and then, I don't know, crash into a plane and kill thousands of people.
Well, I think privacy comes into it a lot as well, though, you know, with this technology coming in. I think I read an article recently, maybe like a few weeks ago, of people kind of complaining that they were being photographed half nude in their houses because drones were flying past and stuff. So it's, you know, that's going to have to come into some sort of legal.
No, absolutely. And I think there's a real problem when it comes to, you know, with like a football game, for example, there's loads of people who fly paper aeroplanes onto the pitch all the time. But when that comes to like an expensive robot that's flying into, like, you know, I don't know, Diego Costa's face when he's through on goal, someone like that could cause havoc. Another thing mentioning the privacy issue, actually, there was something about Google Glass, how Google have actually dropped their old kind of partner company with the production of Google Glass, and for the next version they're going to be using Intel. So they're basically not ditching the idea completely, but, you know, everyone kind of knows that the first version was very clunky, had really low battery life, and now they're going to try to make it really slick and cool. But again, that's a privacy issue with that product, right?
I think it's a good idea. I think Google Glass kind of reached a dead end and a slight roadblock in the fact that people actually weren't really happy to actually buy them and wear them.
Completely. But, well, they're saying they've dubbed it the Segway of our era. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where everyone thinks everyone's going to be whizzing around on Segways in your local Maplin store, say. but actually, you know, no one's actually using them, and sadly the Google Glass is kind of going to have a similar fate, I think. Another thing, really cool announcement from Samsung this week was the iCan Plus computer, which is something that's controlled by eyes and blinking. So that's going to help disabled people get online, which is really cool.
Oh, that's great. That's
cool. Yeah, there's a few things like that coming out. Is there any more discussion points you guys had?
I'd like to talk about the Steam sale right now, because if any, if I may borrow someone's iPad, thank you very much, Andrew. There is, for people that don't know, Steam, which is the online PC gaming retailer, usually has just ridiculous sales, and one of them is on right now. In fact, it is the last day today, so I've come up with sort of like the best offers of the day right now. Because right now, The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, is it 5? Yeah, it's 5. 5 Skyrim, if for some reason you've never played that and fancy doing it, you can get this for £2.49 on Steam. Ready to download.
Absolute bargain, may
yep,
I say.
Yeah, bargain. Can you wait, what is Steam? Sorry, I'm out of the loop with this whole thing.
It's an online retail and game downloading service for PC. It's basically the main one that most PC games
Okay, cool,
use.
Cool. Anyway, sorry, carry on. Sorry to disturb.
Yeah. Anyway. Also, Tomb Raider, the remake of the Tomb Raider games, $2.99 on Steam. This fantastic game called XCOM Enemy Unknown, if you don't want, it's basically a sci-fi strategy game that's quite challenging. It's a really good challenge, but it's an amazing franchise for £3.74. There's also the Far Cry franchise pack, which this is a pack that includes Far Cry, Far Cry 2 Fortunes Edition, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, and every DLC for Far Cry 3 for £7.49.
Every Far Cry under the sun. I've never played one, sadly, but I mean, now
well,
my chance,
it is a fantastic series. I very much recommend.
Let's hit that up. Cool. Any more?
There is, finally, this is probably the most ridiculous one I've seen.
Cool.
This is the Valve Complete Pack. Valve is the company that owns Steam. It is also a games development company.
Uh-huh.
This includes Counter-Strike, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Counter-Strike Source, Counter-Strike Zero Condition, Day of Defeat Source, Ricochet, Deathmatch Classic, Team Fortress Classic, Team Fortress 2, Portal 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Half-Life, Half-Life Blue Shift, Half-Life Source, Half-Life Deathmatch Source, Half-Life Opposing Forces, Half-Life 2, Half-Life Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Half-Life 2 Lost Coast, and Half-Life 2 Deathmatch.
Christ, I'm going well, a bit over here.
Just a few.
For £18.99.
Wow, that is a bargain
that
and
is,
a half.
I mean, that is half a page of games.
If you don't see me around campus in the next few days, I'll probably be in my bedroom playing all those.
Yep, it is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not a big self-guessed gamer, sadly, but I might, you know, definitely look into that. Good stuff. That all sounds very cool. One last little thing was that something's come to light with this whole Microsoft announcing the end of clip art, is that it's sort of an end of an era for the old kind of tech generation.
And I
completely agree.
Which is a bit of a shame,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, they're saying, you know, burning CDs, blowing into your N64 when it stops working.
56 kilobyte modem sound.
And also just having to deal with something you don't know because you don't have some sort of space computer in your pocket, with, you know, something of the past, and these things have all gone down, all these pillars have all fallen, and now clip art was the last one to go. So yeah, I think we're going to carry on with another song now.
Mm-hmm.
But please, if you're listening, stay tuned, because we've got a really exciting giveaway that's coming up after this song. And also get at us on Twitter at ThisIsLSR, or get involved on the website lsrfm.com. Thanks very much. This is The Tech Show. We're live at Maplin's, and this is Mad World. Hello, welcome back to The Tech Show. We're here live in Maplin's for the Leeds Student Radio, and we're doing a shout-out to Callum Sweet. Cheers for listening, dude. Apparently you've been enjoying the show, so much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Callum.
Thank you.
Right, we've just been through all the news, which was cool. That was Mad World by
Gary Jules,
Good work. Was,
of course, a big song in the Gears of War franchise for anyone that played that.
Which, if you haven't, why not?
Yeah, correct.
You need to get on that.
Okay, cool. Now we're going to be moving on to the big conversation. For those of you who don't know, we're doing a big giveaway later, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm. It's going to be coming up just after the big conversation.
This big conversation is a very interesting topic this week.
I would say that this item is probably the best we've given away so far.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Without question.
Absolutely. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Yeah, it is very wicked. So, the big conversation today is about digital monopolies and whether they should be broken up. So what happened this week is the European Parliament called to dismember any digital monopolies that were too powerful and to allow for more competition amongst digital companies in Europe. And the whole thing was that this was actually really focused on Google.
Google was never actually named,
but you can
tell it's about Google.
And, you know, obviously Google has a huge share of the global web search market. In Europe, it's something like 90% of people use their services and people using Chrome. and Gmail and all you know, all their services. And the proposal was to have the search engine actually separate from all the, those other products. You know, they have AdWords, Google Trends, literally an endless list. Obviously, they own YouTube. So, you know, the problem is that Google is so dominant, and there's a concern that they might be abusing this dominance. So whether it's accused, it's been accused recently of favoring its own services on the search engine, and also presenting answers directly to the users. So when I type in, when's this flight leaving, or, you know, what's the answer to this question, a lot of the time now, rather than direct me to Wikipedia, for example, it's just giving me the answer directly. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that this hurts Google's competition and advertisers because people aren't clicking through on links to the websites. And obviously it benefits the consumer, but in economic terms it's not necessarily helpful for the competition. And yeah, I mean, there's, if you guys want to chip in with anything.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the advertising thing is not only is it keeping people away from clicking on those other websites to go for go to advertising, there's also, because Google has so much of a monopoly, advertisers have nowhere else to go anywhere on the internet, because it's like, if you go to anywhere else except for Google, if you want to try and advertise on any other search engine other than Google, there's absolutely no point in doing it, because you're getting a fraction of the revenue that you'd be getting if you were actually on Google or any Google website like YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a massive problem.
Did you guys hear about how this whole kind of ordeal started?
No.
So it was a Spanish lawyer who, I think probably about 10 years ago, had a huge kind of debt, kind of estate debt in his name. And he searched his name recently, mm-hmm. and on Google, obviously, and the only information he could find on himself was the fact that he had this debt about 10 years ago, because it was published in a Spanish newspaper or whatever.
Yep.
So this Spaniard went to the newspaper and he was like, can you take the history of this down? And the newspaper obviously were like, no. So he went to the Spanish government and they were like, well, no. But actually, he's managed to get Google, or the EU, to focus on Google. And the problem is that Google isn't a European company. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. it has a huge impact in Europe, but it is solely based in America. Not solely based, but it is based in America. So I kind of see, you know, these sanctions being approached to Google, and Google going, well, like, why should we care?
No, completely. And there was an interesting point that was made in the Economist article about how, you know, the European Parliament is trying to protect European companies, but instead of attacking successful American companies, Europe's leaders should just be asking themselves why their continent has not produced a Google or a Facebook or these huge big tech giants from America. And, you know, the Economist argues that opening up the EU's digital services market would do more to create one of these types of, you know, tech giants, as opposed to, you know, closing the walls and sort of sectioning off Europe.
It's like Google's been so big for so long in internet years anyway. It's been about 10 years, which isn't long in real history, but anyway, in the internet's quite a while. They've been so big for so long that it's kind of gotten to a point now where it's anything that tries to break through and tries to compete with Google's just, like, Google owns half the internet. So it's kind of difficult to compete with.
And it is actually fascinating how powerful Google is, because a lot of people don't realize that there are whole companies, you know, thousands of companies that work just to please Google sort of search results. So they, you know, SEO, search engine optimization, is something that everyone kind of works towards, to make sure that their results are featured as highly as possible on Google. Loads of people click on it, and then advertisers give them more money. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. The issue is that the digital world is so new and things like this haven't happened before. Obviously, we've had, like, well-established sort of traditional monopolies, and those things, you know, there's always issues about competition and those things that can be quite easily regulated. But when it comes to tech, it's more difficult to regulate these digital monopolies.
I suppose what is coming to you now is this kind of global virtual world, which is the internet, be trying to be kind of constricted and contained by real laws.
Yep.
And that's really hard, obviously, because you have regional laws like the EU, trying to come in and impose these laws, whilst Google still affects the rest of the earth. So I don't know. I mean, obviously something needs to be done, and I completely agree with it. I don't know whether they're going around it the right way.
Yeah, there is a definite problem with the fact that just law in general is just completely out of date in terms of how to combat the internet, because the internet is a completely separate, like you were saying, Dan, like a completely separate entity from any kind of regional, national boundaries that it's very hard to tackle and very hard to keep regulation of, and it needs to be updated on that.
Completely, yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, I've just got a list here of why governments should not really be regulating these internet monopolies as much as they regulate sort of traditional monopolies. And one of those is that the barriers to entry are lower in the digital world. So, you know, it's never been easy to launch an online company. Anyone can sort of make their own website. And we've seen in recent years the rise of Instagram, WhatsApp. There's a recent company called Slack, a new sort of social network for startups. And, you know, building a rival infrastructure to a physical company is so much more expensive and difficult. So in that sense, the competition and having the physical monopolies is really different. You know, big firms like Facebook buying WhatsApp for $19 billion, and they bought Instagram as well. You know, these acquisitions actually encourage the formation of more startups, and they really, you know, show people that they should go into this world. Another argument is that, you know, Google, you have no contract, you're not locked in, you're not paying anything, you can all switch for free. You can always get out of there if you're not really liking it or you're not enjoying the service. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing with this is, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of Orkut.
Heard
of that? I haven't heard of it.
Quite a big social network in Brazil.
Yes, and it was actually owned by Google. It was Google's sort of Brazilian baby,
of course,
to rival Facebook. But that's been eclipsed by Facebook, and Facebook itself is now threatened by a wave of new apps. And that leads quite nicely onto the third argument, which is the lessons of the last decades is that technological monopolies, they'll be dominant for a while, but eventually they'll topple, and no tech company has kind of, through different cycles, has sort of dominated and been a monopoly for more than one cycle, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's always been a bit of a, like, there's always been a quick turnover. It's like things will, it'll be like a fad of like, oh my god, this thing is amazing, and then it'll like fall off, like, you know, Napster.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was for legal reasons, but still.
No, but completely, you know.
I think, point. I mean, this conversation started with the right, you know, the right to be forgotten, you know, the fact that Google should forget data if you wish it so. Mm-hmm. But I think what a lot of people kind of don't realize is that the internet, it doesn't forget. You know, there are traces of you everywhere. Anything you put online will stay online, even if you delete it. There will be some kind of data, some sort of coding, which will leave traces of you there, unless you actually kind of, you know, literally get cut off and, you know, actually sever all ties and go to every company and like, no, I don't want any of my information, kind of, it will always be there.
I completely agree. And I think that's an important point to raise, because, you know, these governments shouldn't be focusing on cutting the market power and kind of, you know, splitting up Google. What they should be focusing on is the company behavior and a set of rules that outline sort of opt-in policies so that privacy can be respected for mm-hmm. users, and that there can be like a tick box to be like, I agree to this, or that advertisers actually have to ask the users for their information. Because at the moment, a lot of people are just giving their information and then complaining about it further down the line because they're a bit, you know,
exactly,
sort of ignorance.
There's got to a point where, you know, multi-million pound companies are finding it actually acceptable to use people's information and then actually try and backtrack a bit to kind of justify themselves. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it was kind of the same. I think it was actually Google had a big kind of, it was Google Buzz. Did anyone hear about Google Buzz?
I've not, no.
Kind of like a Google kind of style Twitter. And just the users were completely kind of flummoxed by it because they would actually use their Gmail accounts. So people would be going as like, wait, one second, is Google spreading my Gmail account, my private Gmail account, associated with my name to everyone who is using this service?
Yeah.
You know, so Google were there just being like, oh no, we're not doing that, I swear, you know. But they weren't doing that. It's just that people were generally confused about how their information was being used. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's also a balance between sort of consumers and being a business and like maintaining the competition. Because obviously, as a company, Google have got to sort of please us so people use them. And even though they have got the monopoly and sort of everybody does use Google, they've got to sort of maintain that. Because obviously, if Google like didn't add features to their search engine and didn't sort of innovate and add new things, then they wouldn't, you know, you've got to maintain the competition. So I think from a business perspective, it's just sort of the way it works almost.
No, completely agree. And just a final point with regards to that is that, you know, Facebook is eating into Google's advertising revenue, Google is losing Android because it's an open source platform, and, you know, Google is not as dominant as we may make it out to be. And I think in conclusion, potentially breaking up Google is not the best idea.
Certainly not. I agree.
No. Cool. Now we're going to go on with another song, Jay-Z, Run This Town, a personal fave. Thanks for listening.
I believe we do have a giveaway after the song, so stay tuned.
The Tech Show Top 5.
Hello, welcome back to the Tech Show. We're live from Leeds Maplin on LSR. And please get involved on the chat box if you haven't already done so on lsrfm.com. Now we have a really exciting giveaway. We're going to be giving you a question to win, to be in with a chance of winning a 2 terabyte storage hard drive, which is literally the best thing we've ever given away. Okay, so here is the question. So keep your fingers, you know, on the button. Sorry, for Twitter. Tweet the answer to @thisisLSR for your chance to win. Tell us the first Pokemon in the Pokedex for your chance to win the MyBook hard drive. And again, if you want to win that, Maplin have really kindly given that so we can have a giveaway. And please just tweet us. The first person to tweet the correct answer to that question will win. So now we're going to turn our attention to the 5 best gadgets that Maplin have, and we've got Dan from Maplin. Hi,
Hello.
Dan. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So we're going to be talking through the 5 sort of best gadgets for Christmas here, and Dan's just going to give us a little explanation of what all of them are, because I don't really have an idea. So firstly, we have the cassette adapter, Belkin. What's that then?
The Belkin cassette adapter is a little tape cassette adapter, mm-hmm. which you can connect your phone or your MP3 player to,
yep.
and then connect it into an old-style cassette tape player to play your MP3s off your phone or your iPod straight through.
Okay,
ideal
cool.
for if you've got an old car that doesn't have a CD or a USB socket.
For sure.
You can connect this to your iPhone, stick that straight in your tape deck, and it'll play through your speakers.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, that'd be ideal for students who have sort of old battered up cars and no CD drive. This one now we're moving on to is the S Energy Station. What is this? I have no idea what I'm looking at.
It's a wireless charger for phones. It uses inductive charging technology to charge mobile phones without having to physically plug the cable in.
Very cool.
If you have a QI-compatible phone, mm-hmm. You can just sit it straight on there and you're good to go. If you're on one of the older phones that doesn't have them, you can buy adapters that go on the back of most major phones to make them compatible with this as well.
That's really nice, isn't it? It looks like a little kind of docking
station.
Yeah,
it's really nicely designed, actually. It comes in different colours as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have a variety of colours. We've got green, yellow, blue and red.
Wicked, wicked. Very cool.
Whatever your favourite is.
Moving on to the next one. It's another car-based gadget. This is the Next Base in-car cam. What's that then?
That is a dashboard camera. So you mount that onto your dashboard or your windscreen in your car. And it records your journey while you're driving. So if you have any accidents or anything that might cause you problems while you're on the road, you've got video evidence of your driving. So if someone tries to blame you for an accident that you're not at fault for, mm-hmm. you can present this footage and absorb yourself.
How long has this been around for? Is it kind of a newish thing?
They're relatively new. They've been around for a few years, but they've really started to come in demand as these crash and claim crimes are becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah, of course.
More and more people are becoming aware that this kind of thing exists and mm-hmm. that it's a way of protecting yourself from these sort of fraudulent claims.
Yeah, absolutely. And how much is that retailing?
They retail at $99.99. Okay. There are a few other options in lower price points that don't have like GPS functionality to log your location at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you just want a basic video one, you can get them from around about £50 to £60.
Okay, wicked.
That does seem like the all-in-one option, doesn't it? It looks pretty hefty. It's great. Yeah.
That's one of the top of the line ones that we do. That one at 100.
Okay, wicked. Now we've got the gun alarm clock. This is more of a
Christmas
gadget.
This is a fun one. This is a fun, a little stocking filler.
Yeah.
It's an alarm clock, which to turn off, you have to use the little infrared pistol and shoot a target on top.
That's amazing.
Idea being, it stops you just hitting the snooze button every 5 minutes. You have to
actually concentrate.
You have to concentrate and be aware of
eyes.
Where you're going and shoot the target down with the little gun to shut the alarm off.
That's incredible. So do you think that's going to be a big seller for Christmas?
Oh yeah, it'd be great if you struggle to get up on the morning and you just every day just hit the snooze button every 5 minutes.
Yeah, which probably like most of our listeners, I imagine.
Make it a bit more difficult for you.
For sure. And how much is that going for?
They retail $9.99.
Okay, awesome, wicked. And we've got the final one, which is the one I'm most excited about, which is the drone. It's called the Phantom, the Spirit of Flight.
This is the DJI Phantom drone. These are very popular this year. They're a bit of a hot product this time of year. They're basically a drone,
yep.
Unmanned aircraft that you fly yourself with the remote control included. Comes with its own little camera, so you can film it, film the feed while you're... while you're flying. It will pair directly to like your phone, your mm-hmm. iPhone or your Android phone, so you can watch the footage live cool. as it's broadcasting.
Yep.
And they are GoPro compatible as well.
Really?
So if you've already got a GoPro, you're one of those if you're up with your tech products, you can hook back straight onto it and use that instead of...
Seriously, wow, that's fascinating. I mean, that is coming... I wish I was that, got that when I was a kid.
That looks straight out of Star Wars, that does.
It does, it's amazing. Sort of white with four propellers on it.
Yeah, very sleek. I'd be quite nervous if I saw that flying around by myself, you know, late yeah.
Just heading straight for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. And how much does that go retail for?
They go for about $370.
Okay.
But there are other ones available. That's one of the lower price point ones that we do. There is another one that we sell online. They go up to about £1,000, the highest spec one that we do.
Okay,
and that's
cool.
For like an all singing, all dancing, full unmanned drone unit. They go very, they fly pretty far and go very, very fast. So certainly not for indoor use.
Yeah. So is that going to be, do you think, one of your biggest sellers this Christmas?
Oh, yeah,
the drones?
Definitely. We've already had, like, as a business, we've had a huge increase in sales on these since they've come about in the last few months.
Awesome.
They've really started to come to the forefront of high street retail. So they're a big thing this year.
Fantastic.
That's really cool. I wonder if there's, you know, the sort of privacy issues we were talking about earlier, chime in with the whole drone issue. Everyone kind of flying the drones around into airspace.
But there are some regulations you have to be aware of using them. But for the most part, they're legal to use pretty much unrestrictedly. There's only a few regulations that the Aviation Authority want you to be aware of when you use them.
Okay.
And that's more to do with flying them too close to buildings or people. Flying them too high up that they'll get in the way of like aircraft space. But
yeah, of course.
Most of the ones we do don't fly that high, but that'll be an issue. It's more flying them into people that you have to worry about.
I know, Matt. Well, brilliant. Thanks very much, Dan. That's been a really good insight into some of the great gadgets we've got here. I wish I could take some of these home, to be honest. Maybe my parents will be nice with me this Christmas. We have a winner of the Tech Show's big giveaway, courtesy of Maplin. And the winner is William Murray Uren. So cheers for listening. And
well done, William.
Well done on getting the answer to the question was, of course, I think Dan from the Maplin knows the answer to this one.
I obviously know the answer.
Can you give
the
answer?
First Pokemon in the Pokedex is Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur.
Smashing.
Good work.
There you go.
Yeah, so well done, Will Uren. Murray Uren. Now we're going to have another song. And we're going to do Superman. Who's this one by, Dan?
Oh, you're testing me here. I don't really know, it's Goldfinger.
Hello, welcome back to the Tech Show. We're live at Leeds Maplins. What was that song, Dan?
That was Goldfinger with Superman, I believe. And that was actually from the first Tony Hawk Pro Skater, so quite an old one there.
What game, though?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1.
A 4, sorry, I thought you meant 1, I never played. Anyway.
No.
sorry. Right, let's get on. We've got the tech quiz coming up now, which is an exciting... We're going to be doing the Tech Show crew versus Dan from Maplins.
Hello. All by myself.
So the way this is going to work is I've got 6 questions here. I'm going to ask, kind of alternate and do a question for the Tech Show and then question for Dan, and then a bonus question just in case you both get all 3 correct. Let's start this out. Question number 1 for the Tech Show team. This week, according to TechCrunch, what was, and I quote, the latest pillar of yesteryear to come crumbling down?
I think, yeah.
Clip art.
Correct.
Clip art.
Yes.
Well done. That's 1 for the Tech Show team. Good
Poor
work,
clip
fellas.
Moment of silence.
Okay. Right, this one for Dan from Maplins. Which transport app has recently been in trouble and underwent, according to VentureBeat, and I quote, their worst public relations week in its history?
You said these are going to be easy questions.
I'll repeat.
You lied to
me. I'll repeat. Which transport app has recently been in trouble and underwent their worst public relations week in history? Transport app.
It's actually just come to Leeds.
No idea. Production crew cannot give them clues.
I'm on my own. I can have clues.
We're getting some hints from the production team. Going to have to rush you. Whoa. We've got some foul play going on.
I'm going to take a stab in the dark here and say Uber.
Uber is the correct answer. Yeah. Good work.
That
was good. Right. Question number 2 for the Tech Show team. So it's 1-1 at the moment. A set of regulations are soon to be announced in the US about what increasingly popular tech gadget?
Is it drones?
The correct answer is drones. Well done.
Hey.
Yes, smashing. Brilliant.
These are getting increasingly more difficult, so don't get complacent. Do not get complacent. Okay. Crikey, this one's quite a difficult one. Okay. Dan from Maplin's in Leeds. Which tech giant?
I'm ready.
Which tech giant bought which company for $19 billion in February 2014? We're looking for two tech giants here. Which tech giant bought which company for $19 billion in February 2014?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint. It's something that is very social and very popular with the student population, actually.
It's something to do with Facebook. I think Facebook's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Gonna have to press you for time here.
Facebook bought Snapchat.
Oh no! Just so close. So close.
It was so close.
Instagram.
No, it wasn't. Although they did buy Instagram later, it was WhatsApp for $19 billion. Which
Well, I tried.
You almost got there. You got half the answer.
We don't sell Snapchats, so I don't
Okay.
Ask me about hard drive.
Question for the tech show, boys. Can you give me the colours of the Google logo in order?
What?
I told you they get more difficult.
Blue. G.
You're looking at something?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Blue G.
Yep.
Red O.
Yes.
Yellow O.
Correct.
Green G.
No! We were looking for a blue G. The second G is blue. L is green and E is red.
I just lost it on
Did
the
Did you know
G-string.
That one, Dan, from Maplin?
No, I knew both G's were blue, but I wouldn't know what came after that. I would have guessed at the L and the E.
Odd luck, lads. So that brings us into level playing field, right? For Dan's last question.
Oh, I could win this.
Right. Who are the two co-founders of Google, Dan from Maplin? Again, another Google one. I'm sorry.
I do not know.
This is quite a tricky
two,
one.
It's two Americans with American sounding names.
Yeah, kind of.
Steve Smith.
Actually, that's remarkably correct. No, sadly
I didn't think
not.
It would be. Sadly, no, I'm going to have to pass on that one. I have no idea.
I'll pass it over. Just no, you're not getting any points for this, but do you guys know the tech show boys?
No,
I can't. Larry Page.
No, yeah. Larry Page is one of them.
And Sergi. Something.
Brin! Come on, oh. Sergi Brin. It's
so close.
People.
So close.
Yes, Larry Page and yes. Sergi Brin were the correct answers we were looking for, co-founders of Google there. So that brings up the scores to 1-1, I believe. And that brings us over to the bonus question.
Tie-breaking question.
So this is actually going to be a fingers fastest on the buzzer kind of round.
Oh, no.
And basically, you just need to, when you think you know the answer, buzz in. Okay, here we go. The final question.
Do I just yell?
Of the tech show quiz live in Maplin's in Leeds on LSR Student Radio. Here we go. Whose video footage will be shown posthumously in a $1 billion lawsuit?
Steve Jobs.
Correct! He's done it! He's won the competition! Dan from Maplin's, well done. The tech show team have been embarrassed.
We've been had.
You've been done.
I can't believe it.
Steve Jobs is the correct answer, and I'll just give a bit of background. Apple has recently been accused of inflating the prices of their iPods, so Steve Jobs is going to actually appear posthumously in a video talking about that. Well done, Dan from Maplin. Thanks very much for taking part, and thanks for having us here today.
No problem.
Thank you.
Well.
Yeah,
it's been wicked.
Fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And also thanks for helping us with the giveaway and explaining all those tech gadgets. It's been really good. Now we're going to put on another tune. Which is Queens of the Stone Age. I'm not really familiar with their work, so I'm not sure what song it is. But anyway, try and work it out. Maybe tweet us the answer. Oh, yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Tune in next week.